And here on KBRB, we are joined on the phone lines, as we often do, with our 43rd District State Senator, Colonel Tom Brewer, joining us after the completion of the legislative session. Colonel, greetings, and appreciate you taking the time to talk with us about a pretty historic session down in Lincoln.
Well, it's good to have it over with. It was a challenging session, and we didn't get as much done as we'd like, but we made some progress.
Well, you know, pretty historic, not only for the budget surplus that the state was working with, but of course $1 billion in federal American Rescue Plan Act funds that you were tasked with distributing. Just kind of give us your overall thoughts on how everything went with the ARPA money and with how the budget went and using that surplus.
The part that folks probably don't see is that there was about $5 billion in requests for the $1 billion and a little bit of change we had. That made it challenging for the Appropriations Committee to slice it and do it in a way that where a lot of senators upset because they didn't get what they wanted. But I think they did a pretty good job. There were those who didn't like the way the total numbers rolled out. There were some who opposed, of course, funding things that they saw as an extension beyond the 1 year. But it is very hard to fund much if you have no, requirement beyond this year. And most everything, it's at least a biennium cycle. So that had to be kind of walked through, and some of the stuff moved over to the regular budget, which fortunately we had a very lucrative amount of money there, too. I want to say we had about $1 billion with what we took from the rainy day fund and what we had in money above what we had anticipated from the forecast. But it was a year that we had a lot of requirements, too. And so there were things like the lake between Lincoln and Omaha, a lot of improvements to our game and parks, the ditch, what we're calling the governor's ditch in western Nebraska, and you know, projects like that would not have been considered if it had been a normal year in our regular budget restraints.
What were your thoughts on that? You know, I wanted to have you talk about those two projects specifically that where there are a lot of money that got allocated to them. One would be that lake, and of course you'll deal with having to figure out the site for that and working with property owners. And again, a huge project in that canal out into Colorado and tapping into the South Platte River for your 1930s compact rights. I would imagine, do you see that potentially being challenged by Colorado and especially by property owners who aren't necessarily in favor of having that canal go through their property in that state?
It'll definitely be challenged. You know, a lot of us had to kind of blindly trust the governor on this one. I don't think we were sold on the idea. Some of the southwestern senators that had been watching this seemed to think that it was needed or we were going to lose our ability to secure that water and the water rights. And I don't know. It was a hard pill to swallow just because of the cost. They wanted $500 million. They got $53 million. That's kind of enough to just figure out the survey, figure out what it's going to look like, and get some of the property issues as far as purchasing the land secured. But it's a long ways from being done, but I think what we did, it prevents them from saying we have no rights, and so we'll have to see in future years how that works out. Now, on the lake between Lincoln and Omaha, that was kind of a done deal from the get-go because there was a lot of pressure from incredibly wealthy people that influenced a lot of Lincoln and Omaha senators. We're in a unicameral that's on population, so that one kind of got stuffed down our throats. You know, they'll build a lot of huge mansions on that lake, and they'll be wonderful for some people. I don't know that it's going to be the recreational facility some think it will be, because usually if you put a lot of expensive homes on the lake, then they don't want anybody to make noise or wakes or anything else. So we'll see. I think that'll end up being a bigger pain than folks realize at this point, but it's not a western Nebraska pain, so I've kind of, you know, accepted the fact it was inevitable. But we'll see how that shakes out in the end, because you're right, there's a lot of land, good farmland, that's going to be underwater. That's just that many more people that aren't paying property taxes, and you know, in the end, it means others are going to have to pay more.
Yeah, it was interesting. I wanted to get your thoughts on those two projects specifically. You know, Social Security income taxation is going to get phased out over the next 5 years. You guys made substantial cuts to the individual and corporate income tax rates. You know, you've been in the legislature 6 years now. Put into perspective for us how substantial those efforts were in the legislature this year to get all that done and really take a big bite of out of what the state's future revenue will be when you look at how all of those rates, whether it's Social Security tax, individual and corporate, were cut.
Well, again, this was probably one that was a bit of a rural versus urban battle because those of us that really had a perspective on what was hurting the most, the Social Security taxation was something that I don't think we should have ever had in the first place. It's kind of paying taxes on money twice. It hurt those who need it the most. There was just nothing good about it. And so that one was a priority for me, and I'd had a bill to do that. Mine had a different upper cap. I think I went to $75,000, and that one goes to $150,000.
Yeah. Oh, well,
on the individual and the corporate, I know that's shaving a pretty good chunk off the top rates for both of those. And you know, when you consider that top rate takes effect really at, I think, $29,000, it's not like it's a real cut for the wealthy. It's a cut for a substantial number of Nebraskans.
It is. And you did bring up a good point. We're rolling the dice a little bit saying, you know, we can cut all this and we'll be fine. And I think we will. We had $1 billion more than we anticipated. So we'll see. But next year could be interesting.
Well, it certainly just means you're relying more on the sales tax side to generate that revenue. And yeah, it's been going like gangbusters. So you're right. We'll see if future legislatures are left holding the bag and saying, well, we're going to have to be the unpopular ones that raise these back up if we start having revenue shortfalls. You know, we talked a little bit about it. Can you talk about just some of the other things in the ARPA money that were allocated and what you were kind of in favor of? You know, we talked about a few of those, but, you know, I know there's been some provider rate increases. One of the things I wanted to have you talk about, you know, we're seeing in the 43rd District even especially nursing home facilities closing. One closed in Valentine, lost one in Mullen. You know, we've got one locally here in Ainsworth that's struggling financially just due to staffing shortages and the cost for having agencies. So I know there were funds in that American Rescue Plan Act that helped increase provider rates there. But what are you seeing and what are you hearing from constituents when it comes to long-term care in the 43rd District and in the state?
That's got to be ranked among, you know, the top three issues in the district because there's not options. You know, if you're in Lincoln or Omaha or even some of the bigger towns like Grand Island or Columbus, there's multiple homes. There's other options. But in many of those towns, you really have only one possibility for senior care. So we doubled down. There's ARPA money that went toward provider rates and also to improve facilities. And then there was also money in the baseline budget. That it's going to be a pretty substantial increase, too, in the 30% range. So I think that we're going in the right direction. We're not there yet. We're probably going to have to see some more increases just to kind of offset the rates that are being paid by hospitals. If we can't compete with them, we lose good people to those facilities. And so it's kind of a you know, a vicious cycle there. If you pay one particular group a high enough wage where they're, you know, healed, then it affects another. And we did that with the veterans home in Kearney. We drastically increased pay to all positions, cooks, janitors, everything. Well, then we ended up robbing folks away from other facilities, and then they were in trouble. So you kind of got to figure out what right looks like and just make sure that you keep the facilities open and staff as best you can and not, you know, put one against another by the way you're doing it.
Well, and of course, one of the main issues is just a shortage overall in the state and in the country, and nurses and LPNs and CNAs and just those professionals in that medical community. So, you see anything that the state could do, and you know, obviously, it'd be next session, but anything that could incentivize maybe more people to try to enter that field to kind of help with that shortage. And you know, it seems to be that shortage that's causing these facilities to have to utilize these super expensive agencies that actually have a pool of staff. You see something that can be done on the legislative side to maybe assist, whether it's with schooling, tuition reimbursement, you know, incentives to provide the service in rural areas that could maybe be done at the state level to help ease that lack of employees in that sector?
Well, I think we made a decision after looking at everything that what we needed is a facility that was dedicated to rural health care. And that's why we moved the money and established the new facility in Kearney, part of University of Nebraska at Kearney's, what would be their medical facility for training doctors and nurses and special care folks. That will be, you know, built from the ground up. It'll be focused on rural health care, and I think that's going to go a long ways toward it. Now, granted, we're a few years off on that, but at least we got it in motion, and that will put more medical folks in the field, both doctors and specialists. So that was probably the biggest effort to do that. And some of the other programs, you know, we continue to fund. Anything that will keep doctors that need assistance in college, coming back to rural communities, you know, those programs are essential if we're going to keep good folks and get them back to where they came from, because that's where most of them come from, is the general vicinity of where they grew up, because their hearts are there. It's hard to take a city kid and send him to Western Nebraska.